This is the ACU Sports Podcast. I'm Evan Nimick. Thanks so much for stopping by. This week, we're talking with ACU cross-country coach Nathan Muhenberg. Unlike the previous episodes of the podcast where we've been talking with football players and coaches, and I've kind of already known their stories going into our conversations, I learned a lot about cross-country talking with Coach Muhenberg, and I think you will too, as long as you're not Don Garrett, ACU track fan who knows pretty much everything about Wildcat track and field and cross-country history. But learned a lot about the sport, what it takes to be great, and also talking about how Nathan brings the ACU Christian mission into his coaching style and how it's kind of effortless. It's not forced. It just happens. And how he's able to share the mission, share the gospel with his runners on a pretty frequent basis. We do want to say the ACU Sports Podcast, now available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can follow us there and get new episodes downloaded once they drop. So enjoy our conversation with ACU Cross Country Coach Nathan Muhenberg here on the ACU Sports Podcast. Coach Muhenberg, your third season here, right?
Yes.
Yeah. What do you like about Abilene Christian?
Oh man, love the culture that the students bring. Love the community feel of campus and of each sports team. And then Abilene itself is growing really, really fast. We love Cork and Pig restaurant. me and my wife. So there's a lot of things going the right way for Abilene.
It's hard to imagine what ACU was like before Allen Ridge.
Yes.
Before all that stuff was just right there.
Yes, I know. And we don't need a lot, me and my family, but there needs to be one restaurant that we can always go to, and that is the one. So shout out to them.
What do you wish people knew about cross country?
Oh man. I wish people knew just how much passion and hard work it takes to be good at it. I think that, you know, passion and that blue collar work ethic, I think you can put it on any team, right? Like if you have a football team that's passionate about, you know, the details and has that blue collar work ethic to put all the work in to do it, like you're gonna have a good team, right? You do that for a basketball team, a softball team, a soccer team, tennis, you know, whatever, right? And cross country is no different, right? That there is a level of detail orientedness that we have to have. There is a passion that our guys have and our girls have to be great, and we put in the work every single day. And I wish. Sometimes I think the attitude is like, oh, they just go out and run. But the level of like fine tunedness that you have to do in order to get your body ready to really compete for, 8,000 meters and 6,000 meters for the women. I think there would be a more appreciation and an understanding of what it would take, what it takes to be great.
What are some of those little details that it takes?
Man, how much volume you're putting in on your threshold system, your weekly volume, the plyometric side of things, you know, how's your elastic energy, how's your, that speed component of it, how much speed are you putting on it, everything from that to, you know, your nutrition, what are you putting in your body, your fuel, your recovery, how much sleep you're getting at night, is it good, is it bad, are you able to adjust if it's bad, and all of that, and then that changes throughout the season. So week one looks obviously a lot different than week two, and our sport's a little bit different in that, you know, you don't have to be at your best in August to compete really, really well at a championship, right? In basketball, you might lose a conference game very early in the year, that keeps you from the tournament. You know, that's not us. You know, our mantra and what we want to do is we want to be a championship team. And in order to do that, you need to be running your best when it matters. And so all of that, all those details I talk about, you know, they change and they morph as the season goes on. And you need to be able to know your team and know what buttons to push and when to push them in order to be, you know, really, really good at when it matters.
Tell me about your collegiate career.
Oh boy, that's been a while ago. So I ran for Milligan University over in Johnson City, Tennessee, and ran for a gentleman named Chris Lane, and he recruited me from Michigan. It was a program that fit a lot of what I wanted. I didn't want a big school. I wanted kind of a smaller school. I wanted a private university. I wanted a coach that was, had a professional mindset and was just an upper level thinker. And Coach Lane was, got there and had a lot of success right away, freshman and sophomore year. And then I got injured. And I battled injuries for a good year and a half, just overuse injuries, little things here or there. And then I was blessed to be able to run really well my senior year. And so I got kind of the both ends of the spectrum, right? So I have a big heart and a heartbeat for some of the kids that do deal with some getting nicked up a little bit, and writing training and writing a program that allows them to stay healthy week in and week out. And then on the flip side, you know, those, the high level ones that are a little bit more bulletproof, being able to write training for them and really push them to a level that they know that they can be at. So, ran in a few NAI national championships, was able to, Coach Lane is also a professional track and field agent, so I was exposed to the professional side of things pretty regularly while there, and had a team that was, I was a captain of the team, and didn't take that lightly, and was able to make some really, really good friends and learn what it, you know, culture wise, what it looks like to be a really good team. And since then, me and Coach Lane have talked about this, you know, that was kind of a cornerstone, was my class and kind of getting that going. And there's a couple of individuals that kind of propelled it to the next level, but they're winning national championships now in the NAI level in cross country and scoring a lot of points on the track and at the national championship. So it's fun to see and have been there at the kind of the grassroots of that with that program. And so we missed each other, but tried to talk to Coach Lane just the other day, just to, you know, bounce workouts off of each other, figure out what we're doing, what he's doing, what I'm doing, and it's a fun relationship.
You did not get into coaching right after college, right? This is your second career.
Yes.
Tell me about your first career.
Really third, right? so I was I started for a technology company, just being a purchasing agent, right? Like, I just bought printers and
that sounds exciting.
Yeah, it was really fun. I was stuck in a cubicle. Quickly realized that I wasn't what I was supposed to be doing, and then I was hired at our church, Redeemer Community Church over in John City, and was a college and youth pastor for 3 years, and did that. And while I was doing that, was when I started coaching at a volunteer level for a local high school. There was, you know, kind of married two passions, and it's funny. So even before then, so my junior year of college, the same church, Redeemer Community Church, had a program called Launch, and it essentially was a 9-month process of diving into your spiritual giftings and how the Lord wired you. And then on the flip side, then went, you know, you kind of go through the what's the world's deepest needs, and then figure out where those two lines intersect, and then where can you really advance the kingdom of God through that, right? And there's an elder, his name's Andy Osbolt, and he owns a burrito shop in Johnson City. And he looked at me after, and this is after 9 months, and we met every week for 9 months and going through stuff, reading books and stuff. And he just looked at me and said, dude, you need a coach. He said, forget about all this other stuff. You need a coach. Like, your eyes lit up. I can tell you need a coach. That's how God wired you. And then it took, 4 years, 5 years for me to actually start doing that. It's been, just been fun, you know, starting as a volunteer. The next year I was an assistant. The next year I was a head coach at that high school level. And then the next year I was a head coach at a track and field at a collegiate, Division II collegiate, over in Bristol, Tennessee, at King University, just trying to get my figure out what I was doing right. And I will say I think I minister more now than I almost did when I was a youth pastor, right? The amount of times that that the Bible comes up, whether it's questions or reaffirming things that are in the Bible, and the different talks that happen after a race or in the office because, you know, they got a bad grade in a class, and the Bible talks about all that, right? And reaffirming identity and what is deeper than just your time on the course or any of that. And so it's been fun to see how the Lord let me get into coaching, and I think He needed to teach me some things before coaching, and I'm very appreciative of how He did that.
My thought that popped in when you said that elder said you need a coach. Did you realize that at the moment that was something that you wanted to do?
I my heart like leaps. I remember back then, like, you know, my heart would leap at the thought of coaching cross country and track and field, right? The ability to do that, I mean, my eyes would just, you know, starstruck. But I just, like, for whatever reason, I just didn't know how to do it. You know what I mean? Like, I was just like, so I was like, there's no way. Like, that's not you got to be special to do that, right? Like, there's got to be something about you. You got to be an All-American. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to. And I knew those were lies, but those are the things that I was telling myself, because I didn't want to take that leap of faith. I didn't think that was something that I was ready for, even. There was just some insecurity there on my part, right? You know, that thought and those words, right, from an authority figure, planted a seed there that just began to grow. Very appreciative of Him being bold enough to say that to me.
Full disclosure, Nathan and I are in the same small group at church. So I've heard you say that you have more gospel conversations than when you were a youth pastor.
Yes.
You mentioned already. Is there something about that coach-athlete relationship that just lends it to deeper conversations?
Yeah, man. I mean, I guess it's just like, you know, you're doing life with these kids, right? And you know, there is an authority aspect of coach and athlete, right? But when you see, and like, it kind of goes back to your first question of like, what do you wish, you know, people knew about cross country? And one of the things I said was passion. Man, when these kids have a bad race, and you know, when you run cross country, I mean, it is you and the clock, right? There is a team aspect to it. You know, there's a scoring aspect, lowest score wins, you score your top five runners. But when you don't run up to your ability for whatever reason, you come face to face with yourself and you are confronted immediately with, who am I? Because if I am exclusively a runner and that is what my identity is in, and it's my time and it's my placement on the team and it's all, man, you're depressed, you're devastated, you don't get it, right? And And that's, I mean, that's where I loved, I mean, I loved to lean in on that, right? And I love to kind of go, okay, like, let's unpack our hearts, really, when the wheels come off a little bit. I don't know how to do that other than open the scriptures, right? Like, I just really don't know how, and what does that look like? You know, how following Jesus should not look like carrying a bunch of burdens. It should be this light life that you're living. And this generation that we're coaching now and that are coming through here, I mean, it just feels like there's just this burden that's on them sometimes. And it's just so fun to see. And in running, I mean, there's just something about that, right? Like, that you run heavy when you're just carrying stress and you're carrying stuff. And so the gospel just lends itself to that, right? And that they're called to something deeper than just running fast, right? Now we want to run fast, right? Like there's a reality there, and I don't want to like miss that. And then I mean, even still, when you're with these student athletes and these young adults over and over and over again, every day, we practice early in the morning at 6 a.m. For the cross country kids, and then the middle distance kids that I coach on the track, I mean, they're up at the weight room at 6 o'clock in the morning, with a common goal, right? And that you're chasing it together. There's just a natural, blending that happens there, right? And that they trust you, and you gotta trust them, and that you guys are both chasing after this thing, and there's a beauty in that, sometimes I'm apologizing to them, like, hey, I think I missed this. We're gonna correct it going forward. We're gonna do that, and I have to say, hey, I'm sorry. And then there's other times that that relationship building process is something that's really, really fun. And again, like, the gospel just comes in. Like, I don't have to try. It's not like I don't want that to come off that way. Like, I don't have to like wear it on my sleeve of like, oh, this is what, like, you know, I, oh, coach is just gonna bring in the scriptures. And like, it just comes in. It's like, well, you're talking about this. Like, Jesus actually talks about this and whatever. You know, John 15, where he's talking about the vine and us being attached to it. And like, let's read that real quick and let's unpack it. You know, does that make sense? Like, that's sounds like you're kind of over here and you want to be, you know, and it blends into each other. And man, yeah, like those conversations, they just come up regularly.
Did you have a ministry education in college?
I did not.
Yeah.
I did not. This is just the Lord's work in my life. You know, it's just, you know, I had great parents that taught me and kept me in church and kept me out of trouble. And when I really wanted to probably get in trouble as a kid. I had faithful men disciple me and teach me and guide me. And then the Holy Spirit just continued to soften and gently push me towards the right way. And by no means have I arrived, but it's been a fun journey.
All right, the track out there, I'm going to say I will realize my ignorance in probably there are small differences in the material and of other schools. You go to other tracks and they're a little different. Tell me about the differences between cross country courses, because they can they not vary pretty widely?
Dude, yeah, like it can be all over the place. So, you can go to footing, right? So is the footing, is your foot getting planted in a neutral position with every step, or is there clumps of grass like Texas has, right? Like where there's this clump of grass and that's a little bit elevated and your foot's, from there, right? And that's gonna change how you're able to run, the force output that you're gonna be able to have, all of that. Hills, I mean, obviously there's an element there, because we just came back from Arkansas and they have some hills there, and in all honesty, like the time of day that you run, right? If you're running at 7:30 in the morning, you're going to be able to kind of, go a little bit harder, at, at, Arkansas, we ran at 10:30 in the morning, you know, 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning. And so the humidity kind of got to us a little bit. The heat kind of got to us a little bit. You know, that human engine that you have to run, like that kind of, you know, you starts getting overheated a little bit. And so all of those environmental things, you know, when you're an outdoor sport, all those environmental things happen, right? So thankfully, you know, like this schedule that we have, our WAC championship is at the University of Texas at Arlington. So we ran that course the second weekend of our schedule. And then regionals is at Arkansas. So we went to these courses so that, you know, my guys and girls can experience it, can see it, can know, you know, have some experience on the course, right? Rather than just showing up blind. And so that's kind of, you know, how you build a schedule for me. And so that's been, and that goes into the strategy. How hard do you get out at the very beginning of the race based on how hard the hills are towards the end? And so cross country coaches will say, you know, usually we like, you know, the true cross country courses. And when we say that, we like the hills in it. Mm. We like, you know, it to be an honest course, right? Some of the courses that are racetracks, as we say, you know, they're fun, you know, the kids get a PR on them. We like, there's some hills to it and some mud or whatever, right? Like that makes it fun.
Well, I imagine this year's WAC meet at UTA will be a little bit different than last year's at Utah Valley. Mm-hmm. Because seeing the pictures from that meet where you've got guys wearing gloves and the mountains are right there and they're snow capped and
yes, yep.
What was that experience like?
Yeah, I mean, it was fun. Like, I mean, yeah, Orem is beautiful. It's challenging in that. So I talked about, you know, the humidity and you're at elevation, right? And so there's less oxygen in the air, which is really, really important for cross country running, right? Like, and so when we handled it all right, but you know, we had some chinks in our armor. We had some kids get pretty nasty headaches and stuff just from that, just from flying and getting up to that air and trying to deal with it. And you don't really know if that's going to happen until you do it, right? And so, and Orem is far enough away that we weren't able to build a race into our schedule. So, but when we were there, I mean, it's beautiful. The guys ran really, really well. Our girls ran really, really well. We had a girl get really, really sick, and so that caused some issues right there, as far as our team score goes. But like for what they had, right? They ran well. And so we're, you know, and we did not graduate a lot. And so we're hoping that, you know, we're building off of that in a couple of weeks.
Your freshman from Abilene High, Andrew Villa, last year, you know, breaks records multiple times in the fall. When did you know that this kid could be a little special?
I mean, early. I mean, I watched him run. Man, that recruitment was wild, right? Like I watched him run a couple of times and I reached out to him and I talked and I would run into him, right? Because he's in Abilene. You know what I mean? Like, and you know, I'd talk to his coach and whatnot, and it, you know, hey, he's looking at Texas A&M, he's looking at, you know, these big schools, and I the last conversation I had with him was like October or something, November, I don't remember exactly. And I just said, hey man, like, I'm not going to try to persuade you away from this stuff. Like, you know, please take your visits. And I mean, you're really good. Like, it's going to be fine. But, you know, if ACU becomes something, you know, and you decide that you really want to come here, then let me know, right? And he, like, just called me and like committed like 5 months after that. Like it wasn't like this like long drawn out like this. It was just like, you know, he just called and said, hey man, like I saw your recruiting class and I want to be part of that, and just was like, you know, I want to stay here. And he bought into a vision of doing something special, here and doing it for his hometown, and when he kind of said that, it was like, okay, he could be good. And then, you know, and then you watch him run and you do, and he actually ran, it's funny, he ran unattached here, he was in high school, and so he came to our West Kittley meet and he ran unattached, and we had three guys eat him up a little bit. He's gonna, if he listens to this podcast, he's gonna hate me for saying that, right? They ate him up a little bit, and I think he just realized, like, okay, that, like, ACU's not, like, we can run, right? And then he came and you could tell he had an edge pretty quickly, right? That there was just like, okay, this guy's a gamer. And probably that TCU meet, I think it was at UTA and TCU was there, and he took third, just behind a couple of guys that were all Americans for TCU. That's when you knew, it was like, okay, this guy's going to roll. And he just, you know, continued to have, you know, performances over and over and over again that were pretty special.
How do you go about recruiting people from high school? Because I assume you probably have a time number that you need to see, mm-hmm. but how else do you figure out what makes this
man, yeah,
this young runner tick?
Like, they're like, yeah, and it's like there's a wiring there, both like, you know, genetically, right? Like, how do you move, right? Like, how does your body move, right? Are you efficient with your mechanics? Are you clumsy? You know, what's your high school training like? You know, are you running a ton and you don't have very much meat on the bone for me to kind of do stuff here in college? And like, mentally, right? Like, how are you wired, right? Like, are you a gamer? Like, are you somebody who trains and you're like, oh man, like, they're not training very hard, and then you get on the line and it's like, oh man, this is a different runner than what I've been seeing in training. And you know, you talk to the high school coach, you talk to the parents, you know, how even, you know, I get to the, even the, in the recruitment process, I've tried to figure out how did you parent your kid? This person that I'm trying to inherit, and recruit and sway to my team, right? How did you parent? Because if you parented in a way that was you know, challenging them and affirming identity and doing things that, you know, challenge them to do hard things, it's like, okay, you're probably going to fit in, right? Like, you're gonna fit in here because we try to do really hard things. And it's not going to be easy, and there's going to be bumps in the road, and there's going to be some adversity, and has your parents allowed you to kind of go through that and kind of figure that out a little bit, versus a parent that, you know, tries to make it super easy on their kid by solving all their problems, right? And so, you know, even that, like, you know, you try to figure all that out, like, someone who's going to really truly succeed here. And not that every kid gets here and is like this, like, fine-tuned product that's like perfect, right? Like there's going to be some chinks in the armor that we need to, like, hey, let's figure this out. Let's smooth this over, you know, let's mature here. But yeah. And then, I mean, just, and then their physical tools, right? Like, what training are they doing? You know, are they able to run fastest at their highest meets, right? Like, how do you do at state? Like, that's a big one for me, right? And if you can run well, or at your, like, regional championship or whatever, right, are you able to run well when it really, really matters, right? And that's not, I don't want to say, like, if high schoolers listen to this and they run bad at state, like, oh man, that coach isn't going to talk to me anymore. Like, everyone has bad days, but in general, are you able to run well when you're supposed to, right? That would be a big one. And all that stuff kind of just, you know, you throw it in a pot and you kind of try to figure out and go, okay, I think this kid is going to be good, right? And then I'm probably right 70% of the time.
Track and field is ACU's historically, you know, most successful sport.
Yes.
A ton of national championships. So many Olympians. Mm-hmm. What's it like to be a part of that program tradition?
Yeah, man. It's an honor, right? I went to Don Hood's, old man Hood's funeral. And he, just the stories that you hear, you know, I'd never met him, right? But you could just tell that the track and field world knew him, and it's cool to be a part of that, right? And you see the, national champions on our wall. You see the, you know, even like distance wise, like, right? Like Nicodemus is one of two runners to ever win four straight cross country national championships. The other one's Steve Prefontaine, right? And everyone knows Steve Prefontaine, but like we have somebody that did, the only other person that's ever did the same thing, right? And so, yeah, I mean, like, it's just an honor. Like, it's just like to be able to wear this. And like even more than that, like to hear people like, you know, Wes Kittley, who's over at Texas Tech, to hear the stories of Don Hood and to understand really the depths of that. Cause full disclosure, I knew of Abilene Christian, but I didn't know all that stuff like growing up. Right. But like, even as you kind of soak it all in, you just like, you know, you just think to yourself, man, I gotta make sure I honor them as much as I can. Right. Like, and build something that's special and put my all into this, in order to do what they did, you know, or at least chase it as hard as I can. Right. And so, yeah, I mean, just an honor, like just a, you know, it's a dream come true.
When people see the ACU logo that you're wearing or the Abilene Christian wordmark, is there like one past track and field person that they are like, ah, that guy from Abilene Christian?
Yeah, I bet you I get Bobby Morrow dropped on me the most.
I figured.
Right. He, you know, I mean, accolades galore. Yeah. Right? But he's probably the one that people drop the quickest.
Which is incredible when you're like, that was... That,
yeah,
70
he,
years
yeah, he,
ago.
Yeah, he wore, and he, yeah, incredible that it was that long ago, but also, man, like, he wore our jersey, right? He lived here. He walked these grounds, and what a cool thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, good luck at the meet this weekend at A&M, and then a couple weeks at UTA, right?
Yeah, we're getting to crunch time quickly. Like I said, like being ready to run at the best time. Like that time's coming for us. So we're hoping to honor the ACU legacy and really, you know, honor what the work that we put in.
The ACU Sports Podcast is a production of ACU Athletics. Stay up to date on everything going on with the Wildcats at acusports.com.